Dig a Bit, a podcast for women who want to dig into the meat of God's Word for a bit. We are glad you have taken a few minutes out of your day to listen. Our host is Cindy Colley from thecolleyhouse.org. Now grab your Bible and let's dig in.
Hi there, this is our fourth Dig a Bit for the month of March. We're winding it up. As I'm speaking to you, our podcast is tomorrow night. We're having our local study tonight. And so I'm hoping to gain some insights from all the other women in our area who have been studying so that we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow night. I want us just to close with a thought from 1 Samuel chapter 30. This is not something that's just real deep, but I wanted us to think about it. Now, what's happened in 1 Samuel chapter 30 is that the Philistines are going out to fight, and they are going to fight against Saul and Israel. And remember, David acted like he was going to go fight with them. But we don't really get to find out whether or not David was lying when he said, I want to go and fight with you, because what happened there? Yeah, you remember that Saul, that the men of Achish, the Philistine leaders, said, no, we're not going to let David go and fight with us. Because he, remember, he is an Israelite. And he had a former alliance with the man that we're trying to kill. He is a friend of Saul. Now, I know that he's been loyal to us, which he really hadn't. I know that he has been out fighting for you, Achish. But what if in the middle of this battle against Saul, he repents and goes back to Saul? What if he's a traitor to the Philistines? And he really had been a traitor to the Philistines all along. They just didn't know it. But here, the leaders of the rulers, the, I guess, captains of the Philistines came to their King Achish and said, no, we're not going to let David fight with us. You please send him home. And so Achish, in the middle of David's begging to go and fight with them, Achish sends him back home, and David and his men come back to Ziklag. Remember, that's the city where David had been permitted to live and hide out from Saul in the land of the Philistines. So when they got back to Ziklag, they realized that the Amalekites had burned it and had taken everything from it. They had plundered it. And that included the wives and children of David and all of his men. And that included David's wives, Ahinoam and Abigail. You remember Abigail from 1 Samuel 25. She had been the wife of the wicked Nabal. And I'm sure that, as your lesson says, Abigail felt like she had been taken from the frying pan to the fire. She had been the wife of the wicked Nabal, and now she's the wife of the future King David. But she was in her bed one night, presumably, and Ziklag was attacked by the Amalekites and burned. And now Abigail was taken away, tied as a slave with the Amalekites, and she is now among foreigners, and David is nowhere to be found. So it says that David and the people that were with him, verse 4 of chapter 30, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They're just utterly exhausted, and they are mourning to the max about what has happened in Ziklag. They didn't know what to do. They didn't really know where to find these Amalekites. They didn't know where to find the wives. And then they found an Egyptian in the field. They brought the boy to David. He was a very sick little puppy. And they brought him to David and gave him some bread. And he ate and he drank water. And they gave him a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. Now, you know, if it had been me, I would have thought, let's give him some protein. He didn't get any protein there that I've read about yet. But he had not had any bread nor any water for 3 days and three nights. He was sick. And David said, who do you belong to? And why are you here?
And he said, I'm from Egypt, but I'm a servant to an Amalekite. And my master just left me behind because I was sick. 3 days ago, I got sick. He left me behind to die. He said, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and on Judah. We're talking about Judah, where David was going to be the king. And here's this little Egyptian telling him about the destruction that they have enforced on Judah. And then we burned Ziklag. Well, with the people that they were attacking, you can understand why they burned Ziklag. They knew that that was the home of David. That's what I would say. And they knew that they had David's wives with them. And David said, show me where they are. Can you bring me to these Amalekites who burned Ziklag, who took my wives? And he said, you have to swear to me by God that you won't kill me and you won't give me back to my master. Why did he not want to go back to his master? Yeah, because he'd been a traitor. He had been a traitor to the Amalekites, and he didn't want to go back to his master. He would die that way too. And I will bring you down to this company if you swear that. Well, so apparently David promised that, and he brought him down, and they were spread upon all the earth. They were eating and drinking and dancing. That's what Abigail and Ahinoam were listening to, a great, exultant, victorious war cry was happening in the camp where they were. And her husband David comes down and sees this party going on. And verse 17 says, David smote them from twilight to the evening of the next day. 24 hours of battle there for David. And there escaped not one man of them, except for 400 young men which rode on camels and fled. So we got some Amalekites once again getting away. And David then recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, sons or daughters, spoil nor anything that they had taken. David recovered everything. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drove before the other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And you remember what happened then. They went back to the 200. The wicked people among David's camp said, we're not going to give anything to the 200 who were too faint to come with us, who stayed back with the spoil. And you remember David said, yes, we are. We're going to share with the people who stayed back with the spoil too. All of that is beside the point. The point that I want to make in this little segment here is that it doesn't take personal greatness. It doesn't always take physical strength. It doesn't take importance among our peers in order to do something for God's people. This little guy was, first of all, he was an Egyptian. He was a foreigner. He wasn't one of God's people to start with. Number two, he was just a servant. I mean, he was so insignificant that he was just left to die. Number three, he was sick. He wasn't in any shape to be doing battle. And yet here, because of his contribution, David went and slew all the Amalekites that were in this camp except 400 and recovered everything the people of God had lost. He was a foreigner. He was a servant. He was sick and he was scared. He was scared to open his mouth. Sometimes we are that person. We don't feel like we fit in. We're insignificant. We're estranged maybe from people of importance. We're not in that club. And maybe we're left behind by people of importance. And maybe we feel like we just are finished
being any good to anybody. And yet it was this young man who could turn the key for them. It was this servant left to die who could turn the key for the future king of Israel and who could rescue both of David's wives, all of the spoil that was taken from all of David's company. This guy held the key. I want us just to be really careful in the way that we view ourselves sometimes when we feel defeated, when we feel like we're at the end of the rope, when we feel like we're no good to anybody. Let's be careful. Let's realize that when we are serving God, we are serving one who has the power to make whatever he wants to make of us. He's the God of more, Ephesians 3. He is the God of more than we can ask or imagine. He can use us for purposes that are bigger than we can ever even think about. And then I would like for it to also make us very careful about our evangelism. You know, they could have looked at this little guy and said, he's not worth anything. He can't do anything for the kingdom. He can't do anything to protect David's promised sovereignty. He can't. He's no good to us. But that's not how they viewed him. And that's not how we should view anybody. We can't be picky about evangelism. Because God is the one who uses people. God is the one who is the God of more. God is the one who can take the smallest of us and put a little faith like a mustard seed in that person and do great things. We just got to be careful and remember this little Egyptian servant who turned the key to the future sovereignty here, in this case anyway, of David, the man after God's own heart. Hope you have a great day.